You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey, we're here for another episode of the New Churches Podcast. Hope you're finding these conversations helpful. If you are, well, since you are, do us a favor, leave a review wherever you download your podcast. Helps other church planters find it. It is the most listened to church planting podcast in the world. However, there's a whole lot of people that we'd still like to know and be encouraged on this journey. So anyway, that being said, let's jump into our conversation. We've got back to the podcast, Scott McConnell. Scott leads Lifeway Research. Executive director there. I served there with him for about a decade, and now he leads Lifeway Research and researches the needs, preferences, questions of church leaders, lay people, and the unchurched for over 25 years. I remember when we were young, Scott McConnell, but no longer.
Those
days are gone. So, but it is what it is. So let's talk about this data. We had a conversation in an earlier episode. People can scroll back a few if they want to listen to an earlier episode. But in this episode, we're going to talk about really how to encourage evangelism in your church. So a couple of things in church planting that seems to happen is that church plants tend to start off pretty evangelistic. And then what happens sometimes is what I call evangelistic panic, when they get all these new people and everyone starts saying, well, we need to do more discipleship. And they sort of quit. They quit doing evangelism. Sometimes church planters can get very focused at the early stages of taking next steps in sharing the faith, but then they're busy doing administration and assimilation. So there's a lot that church planters have to think through about how to do this best. I want to start with the data, and then I want to apply it to church planters. So tell us a little bit about the statistics, and what do the statistics tell us about the opportunities Christians have to share their faith with their friends?
Yeah, the first thing, when we are surveying all Americans and getting their attitude about having conversations about faith, 6 out of 10 Americans say that many of their friends who claim to be Christians rarely talk about their faith. So sometimes we think that this is a message everybody has heard, and that's not the case. We may think that, wow, people are getting beat up with hearing about Jesus Christ in our culture today, and that is not the case. So that first thing is to remember that the majority of Americans that we may bring up faith in a conversation with really are rarely hearing about it. And the vast majority of them actually know Christians. So it's not that they don't know a Christian, it's that the Christians that they know are not talking about their faith. And so there's a huge opportunity there. The next thing is that half of Americans are curious as to why some people are devoted to their faith. And so they're actually interested in hearing a little more. Why you're a Christian, why you have faith in Jesus Christ. And so not only are we not bringing it up, they're actually interested. And so we're actually doing them a disservice by not mentioning our faith, not mentioning the benefits of following Christ. And the third thing I'd mention is that 4 out of 10 Americans indicate they would not think about faith on their own if a friend or family member didn't bring it up. You know, a lot of times we just assume everybody, is thinking about heaven and thinking about how to get there and thinking about, how religion fits into their life or doesn't fit in, and they're contemplating these deep questions of faith. And the reality is that. You know, some people are, even if they're not following Christ, they're thinking about those things. But 4 out of 10 people say, I would not even be thinking about that today if somebody else didn't bring it up. And so, again, each of those is kind of a nudge to Christians to say, okay, number one, we've not overstayed our welcome. Right. In terms of sharing the gospel, and there's actually some curiosity there we could play into and have a conversation around.
Yeah, so I think a part of that is, again, this is me opining. This isn't from the research, but I get to opine because it's my podcast. But I think part of this is that the media perception, or maybe the even what you just see day to day outside of your neighbor's conversation, is more negative. And so they kind of think, well, maybe people are negative all the time. But it appears that it's a bit like, Congress has the lowest approval rating of any mainstream, organization, like universities versus the post office versus whatever. Congress is the lowest, but everyone keeps reelecting their local congressman. So it's important to note that people tend to dislike the institution and really might engage the neighbor. And I think that's a true fact for Christians, is that they might hear, particularly for those of us who identify as evangelical, you might look online and see polls say that evangelicals are not widely liked. And that would be true, but most people aren't really thinking about evangelicals anyway. But for their neighbor who they see going to church and is a kind neighbor and, has been there when they lost a family member, it's a whole different thing. So the opportunity is there. So stop letting national scare statistics keep you from faithfully sharing the gospel. But anyway, that's another story for another day. So what do these stats tell us about how non-believers want to have conversations about faith? What are the ways they, and again, we don't have to decide, they don't decide every way we have a conversation, but it does tell us what they're more open to. And Paul certainly seemed to look for things like that in Acts, 13, 14, 17, Pisidian Antioch, Lystra, Athens. So what are we looking for?
Yeah. We ask a lot of specifics about how somebody could have a faith conversation. And so we got into some detailed things like, would it matter to you if that conversation about faith included somebody sharing a pamphlet or brochure, or many of us refer to those as tracts? And that does turn some people off. And so a little over a third of Americans actually would be a little less interested in the conversation if suddenly you pulled something out and a brochure to show them, a tract to show them, even though that
they'd be less interested.
Less interested.
Okay.
But at the same time, there are a few people, it's actually a smaller number, that would be more interested.
Right.
So about 19% in total would be more interested. About 36% less interested. It changes the conversation a little bit. Instead of it just you and me talking together, now it's like, oh, what's that?
Right. That's a good way to put it, though. It's not just you and me anymore. But it does, for 19%, it's a takeaway to probably learn more.
Yeah. And so if that tract is helping you take the conversation to a good place and to share some of the benefits of following Christ, they easily could get past those reservations of, when you pull it out, what that might do. Another thing we asked about was using an app. A similar pattern here where a few more people would be less interested if suddenly you're using an app to have a conversation about faith, about 34% less interested, about 20% more interested. But again, if it's helping you take the conversation to a good place, it still might be worth that potential risk that it could turn somebody off. But it also may simply mean that you need to be further into the conversation, that you've built some trust in the conversation before you pull an app out.
I will tell you, I was surprised that the app and the tract were pretty similar in number, which is, I would have thought people would have been much more open to an app.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe you got to download it. I don't know, because you don't know what people are thinking, but that surprised me.
And obviously something else we could pull out would be a Bible.
Right.
And
break
so,
it out. Break out that Bible. Big leather one. So
we didn't specifically mention opening a Bible, but we mentioned quoting.
Right, quoting a text, right.
From a Bible since we were talking about any faith, from a religious text.
Right.
And the negatives were just barely ahead of the positives on this one, 27% less interested, about 24% more interested. So fairly even on that one.
So better numbers to quote a Bible verse than to break out an app or a tract.
Yes. Yes.
Interesting. So let me ask a question though. Like in the example of the 28% would be less interested if you quoted a Bible verse or a religious text, but I'll call Bible verse for our world. And about the same number would be more interested. But like, so does that mean like the big middle is just doesn't matter either way?
Yeah, doesn't matter. So on each of these, that is the biggest group. you know, that doesn't change the conversation. You know, either this is a good faith conversation or it's a bad one.
Yeah.
You know, where are we going with this? And so, you know, I think people, we ask a couple other questions that I think give some insight here. Half of Americans are open or very open to having a conversation about the Christian faith specifically with a stranger. That number goes from that 52% up to 66% if the conversation is with a friend. So relationships kind of give you more license to go deeper, to, you know, and probably in that setting, it would be easier to supplement our conversation, you know, by quoting some verses, by showing some illustrations in a tract or an app. But actually the highest percentage we get to people's openness to having these conversations is when it relates to your life story.
Yep.
So 7 out of 10, again, we went from 5 out of 10 to 2/3 to now 71% say that they're open or very open to hearing somebody's life story. And it stays pretty much at that same 7 out of 10, even if it includes their faith. And so the first time we can do that is when we're first introducing ourselves to people. And it doesn't have to be a long explanation of our faith, but indicating to somebody when you meet them that your faith's important in your life can actually open up opportunities in later conversations, because it will be natural. In the same way, Ed, if you were to tell everybody you are now a California Angels fan and that's really important to you, you know, when you brought it up later in a conversation, you know, people would find that natural because you've already planted that seed.
Yeah, I do want to point out the irony that, you know, Scott knows that I know nothing about sports ball. That's why he's mocking me. So, but I'm actually going. By the time this episode comes out, I will have been to an Angels game. So you don't even know that. So the irony that I'm actually going to a game after you were mocking me, and I picked up the mocking, though the audience did not, is ironic, I'd say.
And I can't keep up with whether they're calling themselves the California Angels or the Anaheim Angels today, but
I don't even know.
Back and forth on that.
Yeah, by the time I go to the game, I'll have to report back and let people know. And I do know that it's in Orange County, which I didn't know. So, you know, I'm finding all these things out now that I'm a Southern Californian. So, and it appears to be the Los Angeles Angels is their official name at the current moment. It could change next Thursday.
Yeah, you got that was up, already bro. Taken. I thought the Dodgers had that covered.
No, it appears that even though it's in Anaheim, which is not in Los Angeles or Los Angeles County, because Biola, where I'm recording right now, is in Los Angeles County. But and even if you say that, people are like, well, that's not Los Angeles. You know, it's kind of like in Chicago. When I'm somewhere else around the world, I say I'm from Chicago, and Chicago people say, you're not from Chicago. You were living in Wheaton. So anyway, these people got a lot of issues about geography, but that's another story for another day. That's not our topic today. Our topic today is evangelism. So all right, so back to this church planning audience. Church plants tend to, I hope, start with a passion for evangelism. Matter of fact, sometimes they evangelize their new church plan into existence. But then they get new people, they got a lot of things going on. And the question is, how do we keep this focus? So let me ask you, how can pastors encourage their church members, attendees in evangelistic practices?
I think we've got to keep the curiosity ourselves. Not only do non-believers have a curiosity as to why we have our faith, but we need to be curious, how can we create these conversations? And to continue to have conversations with each other and to be praying for opportunities to have conversations with others. And I think if we anchor some of those conversations, some of that brainstorming around some common needs that Americans have, that it's very important for Americans to have peace in their life. That's a hard thing to find in America today. It's very important for Americans to have hope in their life. Both of those things, more than 7 out of 10 Americans would indicate it's important for them. And 2/3 want to find purpose and fulfillment in their life. And so as believers, we have answers to those things through Jesus Christ. And if we're brainstorming opportunities of how do we create that conversation to show people that our faith engages with needs that they have in their lives, common needs that Americans have. And 7 out of 10 Americans want to know why faith would actually help them with a core human need that they have. And so if we're brainstorming those things, and that, those are regular conversations we have as a leadership team at the church, then, you know, the events we're planning and even this, you know, the encouragement we're giving to our congregation, hopefully will be very practical, and, you know, we'll continue to have innovative events and conversations that that people can have in their everyday lives.
You have been listening to my friend, Scott McConnell, the leads Lifeway Research, does a great job there talking about evangelism, their evangelism research. As always, the show notes contain links to these research projects. They just one on evangelism with Evangelism Explosion, but there's all kinds of other research projects there as well. You can go to lifewayresearch.com as well. Thanks, Scott, for joining us, and thanks everyone for listening to the New Churches Podcast.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.